The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's Black Mental Matters. I'm Vince the Voice Bailey, and we work, of course, to eradicate that stigma as it relates to mental health issues in the Black community. And boy, oh boy, I just hope everything is okay for you and yours, because after this coronavirus, first it caught the hospitals unprepared. Guess what? It's going to catch the mental health world unprepared, vastly underfunded, fragmented, difficult to access, and it's keeping me up at night. Nearly half of Americans report that this crisis is harming their mental health. Hotlines are reporting 1,000% increases. Talkspace, online therapy, 65% jump in clients since mid-February. We need some pandemic preparedness for our mental health. We're standing on the verge. I'm so thankful for Makiba. We're going to talk about it now. Standing on the verge of a mental health pandemic. Black Mental Matters. It's Black Mental Matters, Makiba. How you doing? I'm calling you again. How are you?
Hey there, Vince. I'm actually doing pretty good. I am still on cloud nine from Nina Rose Bailey's that morning meditation. I am still on cloud nine from that. So thank you so much for having her on the show. That was an excellent podcast, and it's so great to be able to, you know, have somebody guide you into relaxation.
Well, let me just publicly thank you for that's my niece, that's the, you know, baby girl, and what's so crazy though, I was supposed to have my brand new leggings on and everything, and my Saturday was just, you know, this mental health thing is something else, folks.
Oh, I
had a mental deal, you know, the phone rang at 8 o'clock, I wasn't ready to get up, I was mad, then the meeting didn't take place.
You don't
place.
Have to tell me.
Do I gotta tell you? Oh my god. But anyway,
she was
so happy, and her parents, everybody. So, hey, this, you know, you just never know, just as we talk about these things. And that's what we hope, is that we're able to touch folks, you know, where they are in their lives, and help lift them up, because we're not alone. That's one of our premises as we, you know,
that's
break
right.
this stigma around mental health. And so today, Makiba, let me just start out by saying we're 3-4 months into this coronavirus thing. And
that's right.
The country is, I guarantee y'all, we're on the verge of another health crisis. We got the daily doses of death, isolation, fear, and it's generating psychological trauma for everybody. Agencies, experts are saying that a historic wave of mental health problems is approaching, folks. And I don't mean this, but I got to sound the alarm. Depression, substance abuse. I know I had to, I'm cleansing right now. I said, boy, I'm not going to drink no brandy for the next couple of days. You know, that's my thing. Post-traumatic stress and the big word, suicide. And I was blessed this past week to take a course and got a certificate. You're Makiba doing the training for the crisis text line. And so we want to be in a position, folks. We don't want our family and friends to have to suffer, you know, more than necessary. We need to be ready ourselves to recognize things. Right, Makiba? Right.
No, absolutely. And you know what? I have to pat you and myself on the back, Vince, because I think just what you and I are doing in terms of going online and getting certified in something that could help someone else during a time of a pandemic, you know, where you and I have our own stuff going on that we're trying to deal with. Just the fact that it's a big deal for us to be online learning about how to talk to people who are in crises, because I strongly, and I know people are going through the pandemic right now, but if you are able to go through any type of formalized training, the Mental Health of America, you know, the their first aid, the Mental Health of Georgia, was it? Or I don't know the organization that you just got your cert from, Vince, but they're excellent. Was it Mental Health of America? Do you remember?
You know what? So many certifications. I have so many. No. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. You know what? They were good.
Whichever it was.
Yes. Yeah,
we'll put it on the screen.
Yes.
We'll put it on the screen. And then the training that I'm going through with the crisis text line, it just, as an advocate, it helps me so much to be able to have the correct language.
Yes.
When you're talking to a person who's in crisis, because I myself have been in crises.
Yes.
And people didn't know what to say.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I really wish you'd said this, this, and this. And then I wish after that was all over that it would have been some kind of follow-up. Gee, like, you right. okay, sis?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So it's great that we've got these organizations that are giving training. And even if you are not an advocate out there big time for mental health awareness and advocacy, if you have someone in your life that has told you that they are dealing with depression or anxiety, get some type of training that's going to allow you to have the dialogue that's going to be helpful with that person.
You know, we had we have emails, and we just, you know, things throughout the week before we record. And so I was telling, you know, about this, and then our marketing guru from Therapist CMO,
Carol,
she, you know, great. Mm-hmm. And all you therapists, you need to look up therapistcmo.com. You know, she threw the question in there. Well, you know, this is you took this about suicide training, but what about folks who they're just going through this coronavirus thing and they're depressed? How do you tell the difference between someone who maybe is just, and rightly so, I mean, unemployment, you know, no job, you don't know where the money, you don't even know if you can get some hamburger meat. It's crazy, you know, we spoil like that.
And, right.
But there's statistics, you know, 1 in 3 people who die by suicide are unemployed. And since this outbreak,
that's right,
3.3 million Americans have submitted unemployment insurance claims.
That's absolutely right.
During the stock crash,
it
rose like crazy. Folks was jumping out the window and all that kind of stuff. And then you get to this, the stockpile of toilet paper and hand sanitizer, but also guns.
That's right. Yeah. 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 And there's been a link. I think we've talked about this in our past podcast, Vince, about the link with having a firearm in the house and
yes.
being a Black family, that your Black male child is more likely to commit suicide with a firearm.
Mm.
If they are depressed, if they're suicidal, if they have heightened anxiety and they've had suicidal thoughts, you should not have that firearm anywhere visible that your family members can see it.
That's right.
That's actually really, really, really important, especially, you know, as we're going through things as a people where we feel like, hey, you know, we do need to have some type of protection,
yeah.
you know, for ourselves with all the stuff that's going on.
And I'm not going to kid you. Yes, I do have a firearm. It's in a box, you know, and all those kinds of things. But I did think about getting some more. You know, I was like, shoot,
right.
it get dark out here. I don't know what, you know, you see these folks on the news. They talk about open it up. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Baby, we going to the range. We, you know, something. I mean, these are just normal feelings. And what we have to be able to distinguish between is having those normal feelings you talk about all the time. And then as opposed to that suicidal thought, you've schooled me so well, you know, that people, when they do have those suicidal words and things like that, it's not that they want to really harm themselves. They just want to solve the problem. They just want to stop the pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are in a state of crisis at that moment. And if we're talking about suicide, then they're talking about, you know, suicidal ideation, which means that they have thought about it, that they have a means to do it, that they are in close proximity to that means to do it, and that they have a time frame that they're going to do it in. So if you are talking to a person that has expressed to you, hey, you know, I've thought about, you know, suicide, or even back to what you were saying, Carol was saying, you know, with, hey, you know, I'm losing my job. I didn't finish, you know, my semester because of the online thing. I just couldn't keep up. You know, there are different layers that are exacerbating people's depression or anxiety. And when you have a person that opens up to you and says, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through, there are guidelines as
yes.
to the language that you should have with that person. You should not be in a hurry to say, oh, that's, you know, a crazy thing for you to think of. Don't think about it. We were taught at one point that if you discuss suicide with somebody that makes them more likely to commit suicide. And that is the opposite.
That is the opposite.
Research. Yes. Research has now shown that you are supposed to, if you think that a loved one or somebody that is opening up to you, if you think that they're suicidal, you can ask them that question. And there are ways to ask that question because you are more likely to save that person's life if they open up to you. But you've got to know what to do with that information once you get it.
It was the QPR, question, persuade, refer. And, you know, if you find yourself, some of the ways you can ask that question, hey, have you been unhappy lately? Have you been very unhappy lately? Have you ever been so unhappy that you wish that you were, you know, not here anymore or dead? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a way, like you say, to get them to talking and you know, to talk it out. And in reality, they say, and I'm sure that makes that person feel better. At least then now someone cares and they're able to get those thoughts out. They're not alone. Again, that they're not alone. And that is so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, what you're talking about is, and I've been learning this also with the crisis text line training, which is incredible training. They're teaching you not to parrot or to go back and repeat what somebody has said, but to have the listening skills where when you're listening to that person, that your response should be like what you were saying. Hey, you know, it sounds like you've got a lot going on. You know, can you tell me more about what's making you feel this way? Instead of those closed-ended questions, which may make them try to come up with some solution or take them out of their experience that they're experiencing right now. The best way to get to help someone with who is experiencing suicidal ideation, Vince, is to sit with them in their pain. And that's a skill set that I've actually had difficulty learning at first because I want to hurry up and help the person.
Right.
I want to hurry up and get you a resource because for me to enter into your pain, I'm feeling, to me, this is just how I'm designed as an empath. I am feeling what you're feeling. So when I enter that space that you're in and you're having these suicidal thoughts and you know when you're going to do it, I'm supposed to go into that space with you and hold that space for you and let you be able to talk about at depth everything that you are feeling that's led you to this decision to end your life possibly. So that's a skill set. And what so many well-meaning parents like me in the past or just people in general, if they hear somebody who's saying, hey, you know, I'm thinking about committing suicide, first thing, you know, that you're trained to do is, oh, you know, that's crazy. What do you mean you're thinking about, you know, you have no business thinking? And then that totally negates that person's pain that they're in. And then that person will shut it off and say, well, you know, I didn't really mean that because they're now embarrassed.
Right. And now feeling worse than they did before they said that.
And now they're sorry that they even said anything to you.
Right. We're talking about prevention here, you know, but to talk about prevention, you got to talk about how it happens. And what I mean by that, I mean, even right now with the social distancing and people are isolated and things, that's social connection is a crucial part of suicide prevention, depression prevention, things like that.
Absolutely.
And we are now forced to be apart from one another and to be isolated. Right. So if there's someone in your life out there, everyone who's listening, reach out, just pick up the phone. I can't tell you how many times during this that I called someone that maybe I hadn't talked to and they were so appreciative.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I felt the same way when mine rang and it was somebody who I hadn't heard from decades ago from college or not college because I did school or something like that. So social connection, remember that this time of quarantine and all that could increase the it does increase the opportunity for depression and unfortunately someone decides that they don't want to be here anymore.
Absolutely.
So question, that was the first thing I learned, and I want to learn about what you said. The P in was persuading someone, which goes back to that listening. That's how you persuade them. You listen, you become a better and active listener. listener. Give them your full attention. Don't rush to judgment. Don't condemn the idea. Tame your own fear, Makiba. I know you empath you. Tame your own so that you can focus on the other person. And say things like, hey, will you let me help you make an appointment with my friend Makiba, who's has a master's in, you know, will you promise me that, you know, next Friday we'll talk again? Will you go with me to go see a counselor or a priest or, you know, big mama or someone, or really want to see a professional? But that's a way you can persuade them, you know, to, you know, with you got to do it with honey because they're already upset.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. The crisis text line training calls it moving from a hot into a cool calm. So you're absolutely right. Even if you are telling, even if you're trying to explore with that person, hey, you know, who are some people that might be part of your support system? And they might think of an aunt or a friend that they haven't spoken to in a long time, you know, for you to be able to help that person brainstorm. There is nothing wrong with giving them a lifeline to get them to the next step. So don't feel bad if you can get them to talk to their aunt, because you know that therapy for them is so far-fetched and so far down the line. It's just good if you're able to help that person identify their support system, just with you, what you were just saying, how important it is to not feel that isolation. And also, Vince, we need to talk about anxiety as it pertains to suicide, because the numbers indicate that that is the predictor of suicide with African Americans, especially African American youth, that historically the link was with depression. And people thought, oh, you know, I'm so sad, I'm so quote unquote melancholy, I can't pull myself up by the bootstraps, and that's leading to suicide. But now it's anxiety, where people just feel like, this is too much, I can't take this anymore. And we've got to start looking at people who have anxiety as people that are predisposed to suicide the same way that a person with depression is.
And that definitely, when you say anxiety, just like what you say, it's too much, or they're, you know, and think about this year with the, you know, 2020 graduates, and congratulations to you and your fine young man for graduating and everything. But a lot of young people, they're like, well, what now? You know, or they didn't even know they were going to even have their graduation.
And so
is that, does that fall under the definition of anxiety or being anxious?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you've got people coming out of school with degrees going into the corporate world where they're talking about furloughs and pay cuts.
Right.
So, you know, you're right. This is a very stressful time. Plus, they didn't have, the class of 2020 didn't really have their rituals and their traditions, especially if you went to, you know, my oldest son just finished Morehouse. Woo-hoo. And they're very, thank you. Yeah, we're really proud of him. And they're very rich in their traditions. And they would, you know, they have their graduation in the same place every year since, you know, the college was founded. And they have, like, you know, traditions leading up to the commencement exercise that they've been doing, you know, for decades and decades. And he and the other students, they're not going to have a chance to have that type of stamp on this huge accomplishment. Yes. And, you know, especially for, you've got some students coming out of college, they're the first generation.
Yes.
The first generation.
I mean, that's what I got. Again, hats off. I'm going to back to Hannah and Lucas with the not okay virtual prom that they did for the high schoolers all around the country. And then LeBron and President Obama. Did you see that this past? Oh, that was awesome.
I missed it.
My heart was pumping for those kids. They did such a wonderful job of representing students from all across the country and all types of, you know, career paths. Academic paths and the artists, you know, we all came together. And on that flip side, these students may come out to be the greatest saviors of this earth, because they are going to be resilient as heck on the other flip side of this.
Lord,
for those strong ones, they're going to be really strong after this.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right, because they've got so much against them
Yes.
Coming out of the gate.
Yes.
I know you're absolutely right. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, the data. I'm waiting for them to release the data on the number of people who have died via suicide since the pandemic started, because nobody's talking about that for some reason.
They won't talk about it. You're right. I did a lot of looking. They won't give any specific numbers. There ain't no White House briefings about that. You know, the leaders.
No.
They're not. And I think it's because they're afraid. They're afraid of the numbers themselves, because this thing is unprecedented. Getting back to, again, we were talking about that persuasive kind of thing. So if someone in your house, one of the things you could also say to them is, look, Bobby, Sheila, whatever, I want you to live. Would you just please stay alive until we can get some help?
Right.
Sometimes they'll say yes. Other times they'll say no. Mm-hmm. But this one really hit me. And it's asked that simple question. When the answer is no, don't worry. There's still something you can do. If you were angry, depressed, terribly upset, not thinking clearly, would you want those who love you to stand by while you killed yourself? The answer is no. Just as you would not allow a friend or loved one to die if they were drowning, having a heart attack or a car crash, neither would you allow someone you cared about to end his or her life by suicide. It is well worth for you to
absolutely
get involved and help. And this is coming from somebody who didn't have that chance to say that to people that I love. And hey, look at here. Life is very precious. They didn't leave us in vain. It's one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast. I know for you, you've got your reasons too, Makiba. Mm-hmm. But we, in this time that we are right now, what do you say? Be mindful of this moment that we're in right now. And
absolutely,
for those of you that are listening, this pandemic thing is no joke. We need to address these things for our folks so that when we do come out on the other side, we're going to have a big barbecue at Makiba's house. Because that's what we do.
All right. That sounds good to me.
That last in that QPR was referral, right? Yes, referral. And the best referrals are made when you personally, you told me this, you can't just say you need to go down there and go see Dr. So-and-so. No, you go, you take them down there. You can't be dropping nobody off. Talk about you depressed and I got a friend and I'll be back, right?
Right. I know this life coach online. I'm gonna send you her link.
Oh my god! Right. She posts some good stuff. Look at this meme she put up.
Right.
No, this stuff is real. This ain't about a meme. And
absolutely.
Take them down there. Go sit. If you can't sit in the room, sit in the lobby and just wait.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because what we're not thinking about and what we don't think about when you are trying to get your loved one to a place where they are safe is mental health just seems very far-fetched and just something that's just out there and it's not tangible. But something is going on within that person's brain. And there's been a lot of research about the left brain and the right brain and just under... When a person is made to understand that, hey, this is not just an emotion that you're going through, but there's neurological activity or inactivity that's going on in your brain. And there are some medications and some exercises and some methods and some skill sets we can give you to help you feel better. When they understand that there's a science to this that actually makes sense and it's not complicated, I really think we need to start talking more about, you know, just the light data of what it is when you feel depressed and what's going on in your mind and in your body when you're dealing with anxiety, because so many people just think it's romanticized. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, I have anxiety because this is going on, or I feel like I have, you know, OCD, and just throwing out these terms out there like they're nothing when they're actually very, very serious.
Very, very serious. And so, again, you're doing the work now with the crisis text line. What is it? Mm-hmm. Crisis text line. And before we end this program, we're going to give that number as well as to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline for those of that need out there. But the services that are provided by that text line are great. Could you tell our audience, Makiba, what resource is there for them?
Sure. Well, if you just would text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741, that will connect you with a crisis counselor. And that's for any type of mental health crisis that you feel like you need some type of support with. They have trained volunteers that have coaches and supervisors that are online to help you reach a place of just being in a cooler headspace where that imminent feeling of you cannot handle things at the moment, where you're able to manage through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, we started this out, we kind of delve into suicide today, but also mm-hmm. for those that are just feeling that anxiety, that depression, that fear right now, it is all, I mean, it's okay that you feel that, and you should. I mean, you go out, everybody got masks on, you know, when you get outside, you can't even get your money out the bank because the bank closed, you know, you're sitting up in there. Like I say, the hamburger now is $25 for 2 pounds. You're like, what? I can't take that. Your job is gone. They denied you for unemployment. All these kinds of things can add up to a person. Maybe they don't go that far, but I mean, you're in a very a deep place especially when you're alone as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But know for a fact that we're here, and that what was it again? Text home to 747-747. Was that it?
Text home to 741-741.
741. So skip that. It was, I said, just like I said, text home to 741-741. If you or somebody you know is dealing with thoughts of suicide, there's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, that 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. You can get other people involved. Perhaps if someone that you know your spouse or someone that you're close, you could ask that suicidal or that depressed person, hey, is there somebody else that you'd like to know that you're feeling this bad? Because then you can kind of do a you know, and they may give you somebody. Well, yeah, I ain't never want to tell Keisha, but tell Keisha, you know, this is why I've been tripping. Things are starting.
Everybody
working.
Gotta have a black name.
Look, Shamika got problems too. That's what I'm saying. This is Black Middle Matters. I'm not. I mean, you know,
right.
Tom and Dick and Harry. You don't want to get in on this. That's cool. But we try to help folks named Keisha. You know, Vince the Voice and Makiba.
Right. I hear you.
Remove the means of harming themselves. You know, if they mm-hmm. take away the guns, the knives and all that kind of stuff. Join a team, set up a crisis plan, plant. But the biggest thing is to plant some seeds of hope in that person. Mm-hmm. Ain't that right, Makiba? Mm-hmm. Come on, I don't have it. Ain't that what they tell you?
No, you are absolutely right. That person needs to know that there's some type of lining at the end of that cloud. No, you're absolutely right. For that person to be able to leave space with you feeling like, okay, that there's something that I can do to continue on for now. You're absolutely right.
Don't worry about being disloyal or breaking trust or not having enough information. Again, if anything, just listen, reach out, don't wait, do something, because this stuff is real, folks. And whether they're talking about it or not, we know very well that it's going to be a historic wave of mental health problems coming after this. That's why we want to get in front of it, Makiba. We got to get in front of this thing.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, now, if you are a student graduating from high school or a high school senior, it will be a good time. If you are interested in mental health, a lot of careers are going to open up in the next 10 years, 5 to 10 years.
Thank you.
In the mental health profession. Welcome.
That's it right there. One of our, we want to get more of our young people involved in this mental health career field. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it feels good to talk about it. I can't even imagine how it feels when you see the results of helping someone one-on-one, helping a family, you know, get through things. And it can be a well-paying career. Let's put it like that. This is a social work, right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely right. Yeah, it can be well-paying, and you can have some autonomy. If you have, you know, if you are setting up where you are talking to people on your own schedule, it's almost like you're self-employed. So there's a lot of flexibility in your work schedule. You're absolutely right.
So, in the words of Puffy, we're not going to let this coronavirus take us down. Oh, no. We got to keep on moving. Hey, happy graduation to everybody out there, you young people, college, the kindergarten, wherever. Happy graduation to you, Makiba, for the text crisis line. And
thank you. And happy graduation for your certification that you just got.
Let's keep.
Those are not easy.
Hey, let's just keep it going and just continue to love and help one another. And so, hey, online, you can visit us at blackmentalmatters.com, info@blackmentalmatters. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch. I don't know everything. And then, Mama, we out there. Just look for us. Call out Black Mental Matters, and we'll be there. Until next time, Makiba, final words. What do you want to say to them? Goodbye.
Just hang in there. Just hang in there, and know that there's always somebody out there who can support you.
And that we care.
Absolutely.
God bless everybody.